just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want.
With our apologies to screen legend Clint Eastwood, Back Time tries to untangle the spaghetti Western history made of the events that can only be called the good, the bad, and the tasty of August 18th. Good for all of us in 1920, as the 19th Amendment was ratified, that allowed women to vote when it was time for the 20th. Bad for South Africa in 1964, when it was banned from the Olympic Games because of its apartheid policies. And it doesn't get any tastier than 1998, when Mrs. Fields' original cookies announced that they would acquire the Great American Cookie Company. That's Back Time for August 18th. This is your announcer speaking.
It's the Onion Radio News. A spy is world famous. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Despite having a job that demands total anonymity, Colin Richards, Great Britain's number one field operative, has somehow built a reputation as a playboy and bon vivant of world renown. Monte Carlo casino owner Nigel St. Clary, for one, can't see how Richards does it.
He must be really incredible at sneaking into places, considering everyone knows what he looks like. Imagine how great a spy he'd be if he were unknown.
Richards was unavailable for comment as he was busy being photographed for a magazine cover after a hard day of spying outside the Dutch consulate. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Drunken Obnoxious Concert Goer.
Mr. Drunken Obnoxious Concert Goer.
Oh, good. Now they can start the show. What would the live music experience be without you completely wasted, stumbling past us to your seat 20 minutes after the concert has started?
There's only one foot you didn't step on.
Awesome. Thanks for the beer shower.
I'll drive home smelling like a six-pack, yeah.
So the next time you see a guy singing songs he doesn't know the words to, while chugging gallons of beer and high-fiving anyone who makes eye contact, wipe his spit off your face and salute Mr. Drunken Obnoxious Concert Goer, a real American hero.
Mr. Drunken Obnoxious Concert Goer.
And stop waving that lighter around before you set someone's mullet on fire.
And now from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Monday, August 18th.
Good morning, Sam.
And you're here bright and early?
Barely.
Yeah. How are you dealing with it getting up so early?
You know what? It's really, really quite difficult trying to become a morning person if you're not one.
Yeah.
But I think I'm doing okay.
Really? What time did you go to bed last night?
I think I passed out probably about, I don't know, 1:30-ish.
Oh.
So not too late.
That's not too bad.
No.
Not for you.
But I'm still a little princess, and I usually require like 8 to 10 hours of sleep.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you're never going to get it coming here.
Oh, I know. Especially,
what about on the weekends? Do you get 8 hours on the weekends?
Yeah, I just make up for it during the day. Like, I don't know. Someone asked me to go have breakfast the other morning, and I was like, ha, ha, ha. I was like, yeah, right, try dinner. I was like, I might be waking up around 5:30. No, I try and wake up a little bit earlier these days because I have full weeks. That way I can get more things done.
But yeah, you really do. You know, I mean, if you get up at like 11, 12, you know.
You still
half
have
the
time.
Day. Half the day is
well, listen to my voice right now. It's
I
like
know.
I sound like a phone sex operator. Hello out there. Oh my.
Why, were you screaming last night or anything?
No, I think, well, maybe I was screaming. I don't know. I just, you know, I talk a lot, as you probably know.
No.
And I had a couple of parties this weekend, like one after the other, and they literally were like running into each other. And one of them ended up being like a 12-hour debaucherous drunken bike ride.
Really? So, 12 hours, huh?
Yeah, that involved a lot of screaming and partying.
I'm sure. Now, you don't ride the whole 12 hours, do you?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I mean, you're not on the bicycle the whole time.
Right.
It's kind of like a block party on wheels. We go from like one location to the next, usually like a grocery store parking lot, and then we'll have like a tall bike jousting event.
Uh-huh.
which Franz actually, good thing he borrowed a helmet because he fell off a tall bike jousting and whacked his head really hard.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Maybe it knocked some sense into him. I don't know. Just kidding, baby.
Well, that's awesome.
But yeah, so I apologize for the for the deeper voice today.
No, that's okay. I mean, I'm sure people will take it. That's fine. Hazy day.
I know, actually, yeah, I didn't even wear our sunglasses. I wore my fake regular glasses today.
I know. I don't know what's been happening soon. I mean, recently. It's like gloomy every morning and stuff. But then it gets nice, you know?
I know. It's so weird. Before I had this gig and I would just have to go up to Malibu every day, I would be in Venice and it would be dark and gloomy and miserable. And, you know, I'd put on like long sleeves and jeans. Then I go up to Malibu and it's like, what is it? What's going on? I mean, It's absolutely gorgeous up there.
Yeah, because the beach area where you live always gets like that every morning. It's because of the ocean currents. We have cold, really cold ocean currents, as you can tell when you go in the water. And then warm air comes in and creates that mist. You know,
the hazy, hot, and humid.
Yeah, you know.
So
much for the weather lesson for today.
Hey, I like learning about these things.
Do you?
Yes. Keep me informed of things I'm not aware of.
Yeah. So, but you know what? I mean, we just don't appreciate the weather we have here, you know? I was sitting yesterday, even when the sun was beating, like around 2 o'clock, I sat in the shade, and there was a nice cool breeze going. Now, my wife was over in Vegas over the weekend. She says 120 degrees.
Oh, don't tell me that. I'm going there on Wednesday.
And at 8 o'clock at night, it's 101 degrees.
Oh.
So, yeah, you can't go outside.
But on the other side, on the flip side of that, it's dry heat.
Big fucking deal. You know what? People keep saying this. I lived in Vegas twice. I would sweat. That's fucking bullshit.
You know,
it is a different kind of heat.
It's not the same kind of heat that you have on the East Coast that is just nasty when you're sopping wet and you're just miserable and you can't even move. Right. Like if you have a dog, like the dog is just like barely, like they'll turn their eyes and they'll look at you and they're just like, please put me to sleep now.
Wow.
Speaking of animals, I sent you an email over the weekend telling you about what a sucker I am.
Yes.
My little pussies that I had that I was taking care of for the past 6 weeks, I finally decided to bring them into the shelter and have them adopted by my girlfriend Morgan's stepmom, Sandy. So anyway, so they took the kitties, and then while I'm there...
One person took all three.
Really? Yes,
nice.
Yes. So now I'm not the only crazy cat lady out there. but as I'm sitting there, the woman who runs the program over there at the West LA Animal Shelter was like, Susie, she's like, you don't want to go home with no kitties, right? And I was like, well, my apartment's starting to smell like cat. You know what I mean? My boyfriend's ready to kill me because all he hears is meow, 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 meow. So I got suckered into taking another one.
Oh, wow. How little is it?
This one's actually not that little, which is the only reason I took it. It's 6 weeks old, so it's actually litter box trained, and it doesn't have to be fed on the nipple.
Really?
So, yeah.
Cool. So does it eat like cat food already?
It eats regular cat food and everything.
Wow.
Yeah, so this one's going to be a little bit easier.
So let's see. So you got a cat and an iguana, but you have a lizard.
The bearded dragons,
exactly.
And the fronds.
And the fronds. Well, that's not that many animals, you know. Could be a lot worse, you know. I mean, some people have like 8 fucking cats and 3 dogs, and I don't know what's going on, you know. And then turtles and fish and, my God, you know.
I used to be one of those crazy people.
Really?
When I had more space. But
yeah. I know. Well, at least you don't feel lonely when you have somebody around.
Definitely not. Whenever I break up with a boyfriend, there's always something to cuddle with or pet or play with or focus my attention on.
Yeah. Do you like dogs too?
Oh, I love dogs.
Really?
I'm kind of a nurturer in a weird way.
Yeah.
I don't know. Actually, this is a kind of a funny story if you don't mind my telling you. So 3 years ago, I was coming to LA for the first time, actually. And I was visiting my girlfriend, Chase. I would love to actually bring her on the show. I told you she's absolutely gorgeous. Mm-hmm. She should be a Playboy model. She made me promise not to talk about her boobs, though. But I just, they're so perfect.
Really?
Oh, my God.
So what are you waiting for?
I'll do it next week. I'll get her in here.
Okay.
But just promise you won't stare at her boobs the whole time.
Usually I don't. You know, I try to be very polite.
Oh, okay.
But I would steal glances, I'm sure.
I'm telling you, we were 10 years old, and she gave me my first bra because I totally didn't need one. I was just like, oh, my God, I'm so jealous. But anyway, back to the story. So I came out to visit her, and we decided to go out and have, it was my birthday, and so we're going to go out and have a girls' night out with her girlfriend, Simona, who's from Hungary. And so I was leaving the very next day at like 8 in the morning, and so I had to be at LAX at 7 a.m., come 5 a.m., Simona, we're still out drinking, partying, and Simona bursts into tears, and she says, I need someone to take care of my puppy. And she's howling in tears, and I rush over, and I'm like, what? I'll take care of your puppy? I'm like, okay. And she's like, I might be deported. I need someone to take my puppy. And I'm like, I'll take the little shit, fine. And I'm like, what kind of dog is it? She's like, it's a chihuahua.
I knew you would say that. Yeah, go ahead.
So the little delightful puppy's name was Bella. I renamed it Taco Bella. But so anyway, on the it's just totally appropriate for the little fucker.
Do you remember those Chihuahua commercials for Taco Bell?
Which is why I named it Taco Bella.
Okay.
Yo quiero Taco Bell.
Yeah.
But this is the worst. It actually goes back into an airplane story. So anyway, I'm in LAX. I've known this dog for an hour. It's in a bag. I'm carrying it through the airport. I'm still drunk, still kind of sweating all the booze out of my system. I'm not really in good shape at this point. I've got my Ashley Olsen sunglasses on, huge, obnoxious things. But anyway, so I get a middle seat again, and I'm wedged in between two overweight middle-aged men. And so I push the dog under the seat in front of me, and I spread my legs and kind of straddle the dog with my feet.
Right. In the cage.
In the cage. It's in a bag, a zippered bag.
Right. Oh, in a zippered bag. Okay.
Yeah. But so anyway, the plane takes off, and again, I feel the guy on my left. I feel him, like, staring at me. You know when you can just sense someone's, like, looking at you?
Oh, fuck, especially when they're next to you.
Especially when they're next to you. But I felt this, like, with my eyes closed.
Yeah.
And so I kind of, like, opened my eye, and I looked left with, like, one eye, and I was kind of like, ugh. And I pulled myself a little closer together, you know, and I'm like, don't touch him, ew. Fat, overweight, middle-aged man on both sides, yucky. But so anyway, he kept doing this. So at one point, I finally ripped my sunglasses off, and I was like, what? And he's like, I thought you wanted to. I was like, you thought I wanted to what? You are a disgusting pig. Oh, my God. Turns out the dog had nosed her way out of the bag and was kind of like humping his leg under the seat. And because my feet were stretched out in front of the seat in front of me, he couldn't see that it was the dog and not my foot that was like rubbing him or giving him a foot job. So,
are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Wow.
And by the time I realize that this pervert is not trying to get me, well, he is trying to get me to go to the bathroom and, you know, I looked out and the bag is unzippered and I hear people screaming on the plane. Fucking Taco Bella has taken off and is like darting
all
underneath
over
everyone's feet.
How did they let you take it in without a cage?
It was in a cage, but it's like a zipper dog bag. And the thing's a little rat, I'm telling you. Like, she was able to, like, nose her way.
But
like,
it's not those normal cages.
No, it's a comfortable cotton, like, dog bag.
Right, I understand. But they can get out of that, whereas in a cage, they can't, obviously, right? Go ahead.
Well, okay. Yeah, so
trying to understand it, so.
No, trust me, it was not a very good design for the bag. But at the last minute, we really didn't have much of a choice.
Yeah, and what if the dog has to take a shit or something? What do you do then?
Well, the dog actually held it, but... So that was my next question to Simona. I was like, okay, so... You know, it's winter in Boston when we go back there. It's going to be freezing cold, like, you know, negative 10 degrees and things like that. And the dog's been living in the lap of luxury in Beverly Hills. She's like, oh, don't worry. The dog goes potty on a Vivi pad. And I was like, excuse me, what's a Vivi pad? And she's like, a Vivi pad. And I was like, a Vivi pad. She's like, yeah, Vivi pad. I'm like, what the fuck is a Vivi pad? And she's like, it's a wee wee pad. It's like
wee-wee.
a wee wee pad, but with her thick Hungarian accent, it's Vivi pad.
Vivi pad. Okay.
But so it's like it's a huge square diaper that you put on the floor that the dog goes on.
Yeah, I know those. I used to get that when we got a very little Chihuahua.
You had one too.
We had one, yeah, a long time ago, and I mean, we had Chihuahuas before they were.
Trendy.
Yeah, now everybody's got a Chihuahua.
It's an accessory.
Yeah, you know. And there's a movie coming out with Chihuahuas.
Oh,
did you see that one?
Please.
It looks pretty funny.
No, it doesn't. Tell me you would not waste your money or your time on that.
I might. I might try that.
No.
Yeah, I mean, they're funny. I love Chihuahua.
Oh, that movie just looks awful.
No, my kids still have a Chihuahua.
Really?
A different one, yeah. And so at any rate, when we got him when he was really little, we put that pad on the floor.
The Vivi
pad? We would put like those gates in the kitchen so he couldn't get out. Bullshit. You know, I mean, first of all, he wouldn't shit on the thing. Or if he did, then he would walk in it. And the whole fucking kitchen is full of shit.
And then the pad leaks. If they pee like on a corner, it'll like dribble off all the way
on
the floor.
You know,
anyway.
It's disgusting.
It's so disgusting.
Yeah.
It's absolutely awful.
See, that's why I don't have a dog. It's just... owning one is disgusting, you know, having to pick up their shit every day when you walk them. I mean, I look at all these people walking their dogs and I'm like, who's the master here, you know? I mean, who's picking up whose shit here?
Seriously.
Yeah, so it's pretty pathetic, I think.
Speaking of, I'm sorry this conversation's going so downhill so quickly, but for once it's not about sex, it's kind of funny. did I tell you the story about the little boy I nanny for with the shit?
No.
His mom went upstairs like for 2 minutes and like left him outside just for a minute. And they have like a small little backyard. But so anyway, they have two dogs, two large dogs, a golden retriever and another mix of some sort. Mm-hmm. But the gardeners hadn't come yet, and the gardeners come once a week to pick up all the shit.
Right.
So needless to say, there was kind of like a minefield in the backyard. So 2 minutes, this woman left her kid alone back there. The kid went and took the father's really nice leather garbage bin, took it outside, hand-picked all of the shit and put it in the really nice leather garbage bag or garbage can, and then took it over to the dog bowls and started like distributing the dog shit in between the two dog water bowls. Then started filling the water bowls with water, with the hose. When the mom comes downstairs and sees him just covered in shit filling the water bowl, she's like, oh my God.
Oh God.
But so the father, like, he came home and I saw the garbage bag or the garbage thing full of shit on the table too, and I was like, kind of, okay, why is that there? But, you know, I'm not going to do any, I'm not going to throw it out. I don't know what science project they have going on here. But the father asked me later on, he called
me. So you just left the shit on the table?
I just left it there. What was I supposed to do? That's not in my job description. But so, like, the father calls me, like, after I left, and he's like, Nanny, can you tell me why my really nice leather garbage bag is full of shit on my porch table? And I'm like, I was gonna ask you the same thing. I was like, I have no idea. And so we both decide we're gonna blame it on the wife.
Yeah.
And so then she calls me the next day and she's like, it wasn't me either. Like, I don't know what you guys think I would do, but yeah. Fucking kids, they do the darndest things.
But you weren't in charge of the kid at the time, right?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
Definitely not.
Can you imagine?
No shit picking on my watch.
Oh man, the stuff kids do, you know?
I know.
I don't know why kids are fascinated with shit, you know?
I don't know, but this one's so funny, because I'm like, oh, watch out. I'm like, don't step in the poop. And he's like, poop, and he just loves saying that word.
Yeah.
But then again, he is in the stage of being potty trained, so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but so anyway, about that stupid chihuahua, I mean, my delightful puppy. Yeah, so.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, it depends, you know. I mean, chihuahuas are cool, though. I mean, they're very loyal and shit.
Very loyal.
Territorial. And, but yeah, you know, what are you going to do? Did you hear this thing? And I just wanted to go over a few things in the news, you know, not necessarily important ones, but just kind of like keep up on everything. You know that Ellen DeGeneres and Portia got married this weekend?
Yes.
And in what was described as an intimate ceremony at their home in Los Angeles. And
how intimate.
Yeah, and People magazine reports that they exchanged handwritten vows and rings by Neil Lane. I don't know what that means, but
probably some designer.
Yeah. And then they both wore, do you know this one, Zac Posen?
Oh yes.
Yeah. Portia in a backless light pink dress and Ellen in white pants, that figures.
Yes. Yep.
She never wears a dress.
She's the man.
Yeah. Button up shirt and a vest.
I don't understand why, like, she really has to, like, fulfill that role of being the man.
Because maybe that's what she feels she needs to do, you know? I mean, maybe that's what she's compelled to do, you know? Who knows?
Repeat after me. I, Ellen.
I, that's me, Ellen. Me, Ellen, or I, Ellen. Either way, it's me, I. I'm Ellen.
Take thee, Portia.
Take thee, Portia. Oh, boy, I sound like a car thief there. I take thee, Porsche. I carjack thee, Ferrari. See what I did there?
To have and to hold from this day forward.
Of course, that makes sense. How can you hold something if you don't have it? If you had it, you'd probably put it in your pocket or somewhere that you're safekeeping.
For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer.
Ah, speaking of worse, remember my movie Mr. Wrong? Talk about bad casting. And don't worry about the for poorer part. I just re-upped with American Express, so that's great, really great. Are we done? Can I kiss the bride now?
Yes, you may kiss the bride.
Alrighty, okay, great. Really weird. Which one of us are you talking to? Because that's weird. Because we're both kind of the bride, which is weird. But of course, I'm the one in the tux. And see my cummerbund.
See my cummerbund. Oh my God.
So they're officially married now. And I guess we can move on about our lives now.
Yeah, seriously. Oh God.
Yeah. Was Ellen like a stand-up comic before she started this? Before she became big on TV?
I don't really know.
Yeah. I think she was, you know.
Probably.
She seems like she is, you know, a stand-up comic. But I can't believe how she's taken off, you know. A lot of people really like her.
I know.
And, I mean, I don't think she's that attractive, but my wife ran into her once. She saw her somewhere. And she says she's beautiful with the blue eyes and everything, you know. So I guess we're just expecting women to be feminine for the most part. So we don't really know how to deal with this.
Yeah.
But, But yeah, you know, I'm sure if she had long hair, she wouldn't look too bad.
Well, what are you saying? I have short hair.
Yeah. But it doesn't look good on Ellen.
Oh, I thought you were going to say on me. I was about to jump over the table here.
You don't have to take everything personally, you know.
Oh, I know.
So, and then Madonna celebrated her 50th birthday on Saturday.
I know. Can you believe it?
Yeah. I mean, she doesn't look 50, does she?
No.
Yeah.
And I don't really think she's even had a lot of work done.
No?
No.
Probably not. But you know what? Her face has changed. You know, I mean, at a certain point, I realized her face was different.
But, you know, that could happen just from, like, changing, like, your eating habits, like, completely. Or, you know, she went to being completely buff. And when you do that, you lose a lot of fat and you become, like, completely lean. And that'll change your facial structure completely.
That's true, yeah.
I mean, did you look at some of the swimmers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My God.
I mean, but they're all manly. I mean, all the women.
They've got huge necks.
They really do. And shoulders.
And shoulders.
Backs, you know. I mean, they really look like guys. You know, but I guess you need to develop your muscles like that to swim. You know?
And even the track racers last night, I was watching the hurdles in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And they looked like velociraptors.
Yeah.
And but like male velociraptors just attacking those hurdles and jumping. But then I noticed how they all had earrings and necklaces, and bracelets on. They're running the Olympics with like full jewelry.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
Oh, that's the first thing I noticed.
So they swim with a bracelet on?
The swimmers didn't. That would create too much drag.
Oh, I see. Okay.
The hurdlers did.
I see.
I guess to make themselves look more feminine because they look so manly.
Yeah.
Do what little you can do.
I know. I was watching some of the gymnastics and shit, and that was pretty neat, you know. I mean, the Chinese girl like stumbled and stuff, and yeah. Yeah, so, but the Americans still didn't win. I guess there was one American girl that was supposed to win, and she didn't. And then Michael Phelps, we're talking about the Olympics, won 8 gold medals.
8 is unbelievable.
Yeah, and now, so, he's broken the Mark Spitz record. I remember when, it was probably before your time, but I remember Mark Spitz at the Olympics, and this guy just like, I mean, he became like a hero. You know, I mean, he was like getting one medal after another, you know. And I remember Israel was proud because he's Jewish. Because Israel never fucking wins anything in the Olympics.
Aww.
Yeah.
They're too busy doing other things, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. And then, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Okay, so he did the relay and everything. What else? Okay, so the... there's still like more stories about the Olympics. I mean, did you hear like they said that all the fireworks was CGI? It was all computer generated.
I did hear about that.
Which it doesn't really. I mean, I don't know how they could do it. And I've done computer graphics before. I don't know how they could do it and fool, you know, millions of people. You know,
yeah.
including cameras and everything. You know, so I don't know. But then there was this one thing about the girls.
Does it
singing.
Really matter if it is either way? So long as it looked impressive.
No, but the thing is, I'll tell you this other story, and you'll see how this really reflects what China is about. They had the little girl singing a song,
yes.
right? And
this is
she's
awful.
Like 7 years old or something, right? And you look at her, first you can tell she's lip syncing, but you go, okay, whatever, you know, it's a show, and it's a huge stadium. So then it turned out that they used another girl
because
to actually
she was
sing.
Too ugly.
Yeah, but well, they let her sing because she sang nice, and but then
she didn't look good enough.
Yeah, she had bad teeth or something, which is a problem in China.
Yeah, yeah.
a lot of people have crooked teeth there. I don't know why, but that's what I heard. And,
well, a lot of them probably can't afford braces.
Probably, yeah.
That's
and
not
maybe
probably
it's
in their health
genes,
plan.
Yeah. I don't know, but that's a story there. So yeah, so because the girl was not presentable enough for TV, then they placed that girl.
That's so
and,
sad.
It is, you know.
Can
and
you imagine?
It just shows you China and communism. They always try to make everything look perfect, seem perfect on the outside. You know,
yeah.
It's all fucking artificial. You know. So,
wow, that's an interesting point.
Yeah, so that's
can you
the
just
way
imagine being the girl that was, you know, the one that had the beautiful voice, but was too ugly to be put on stage?
Yeah.
Can you imagine growing up like knowing that you were just that your country thought you were just like too heinous looking?
Yeah,
and they're gonna hide you.
I'm wondering if we're not really projecting our culture on them because there's no really individuality in China, you know? I mean, if you noticed, like, all the opening ceremonies, everything, it had to do with 2,000 people were doing those things, you know, with the drums and the lights and everything. And it's like, it just rings of communism, you know? It really does. And there's no individuality, so I don't know if it really bothers them, because I don't know that they know any different, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I really don't know what to say about all that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it would feel shitty to the girl, I'm sure. And it's pathetic for a government to do that, you know. But you know what? I was thinking about this. Look, if we had this here, would we put an ugly girl on TV with crooked teeth?
Definitely not.
No. You know, so we would find someone pretty.
We would actually send them up there to lip sync.
Yeah, but you know, so maybe here we'd have a bigger selection of girls that look good and can
sing.
You know, but maybe there they don't. You know, but I mean, I can see it, you know. So people are constantly looking
for... You want it to be a good reflection of your country.
Yeah, you know, so people constantly are making a big deal out of China. It's like, get off their fucking backs, let them just run the Olympics, and let's move on, you know, because everybody wants to change China. I don't know why that is. Now,
maybe because they're communists?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know what you're saying.
Now, check this out. They're saying that scientists are close to developing a cloak to make a man invisible.
I read that. Oh, no, all right, tell me a little bit about this, because it sounds
bullshit. Well, I don't know. That's all it says.
I know. It can't be, what is it, Harry Potter, like, come to life?
Yeah, but I mean, can you imagine being invisible? I mean, I've always, when I was a kid back in Israel, they had like a book series, like the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew and stuff, about this boy that could get in. He was invisible all the time, actually. He drank this potion, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, so it's really neat, because you had to think about all the things, like he had to take off his clothes, because otherwise it would look like just clothes suspended
ghost,
in
like
the air.
Right,
you know, or when you pick up things and stuff. So it was really neat to read about this. And I remember as a kid, I just wished I could be invisible. And I'm sure many people
It reminds me of like the Clay Aiken song, like, if I was invisible. And he's got like, but that song always creeped me out, because, you know, he says, I would watch you in your room. And it's like, he would just go and be a pervert.
Yeah, that's what guys would do.
Rooms. Oh,
that's what guys
God.
Would do. You wouldn't do that? You would.
Well, I don't know. I kind of get my fill of
You want to tell me you wouldn't go into the men's room or something? Or into
no.
The,
into if men the... don't know they're being watched, they're totally disgusting pigs.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like more unattractive. Like, I don't know. It's one thing for me to have like sex with my boyfriend, but like my friend walked by my apartment one day and said he looked in the window to see if I was there, and he just saw my boyfriend like sitting on the kitchen table like masturbating, and he's like, there was nothing attractive about it. It was awful, absolutely awful.
Yeah.
And I kind of agree. You know, I really don't want to see what men are doing in their private time.
Well, no, but I mean, if you walked into the I don't know, if you went to the gym or something, you know.
Well, I can go to the gym regularly.
Yeah, but you can't walk into the men's
Yeah, but they're going to be
showers.
Scratching their balls. Like,
no,
yeah.
No, they don't scratch their balls. Come
I
on.
I don't know. They're going to be fat, yucky
women
men
they,
in there.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, if men walk in to the ladies' locker room at the gym, they are going to be horrified.
Yeah,
be
they're
disgusted,
they're
going to be nasty,
right?
Saggy titties, like, flopping around. You know, like, you've got big bushes, unmanicured bushes, like, you know, completely all different shapes and sizes. There's really nothing sexy about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I see those female reporters that, like, go into, like, they make a big deal about going into, like, the pro football player's locker room. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, ooh, you know, ooh, he's standing there in his jockstrap. Oh, my. How naughty. Ew. Yuck.
I know. Yeah, that's the thing, is that sometimes I think, thank goodness that we wear clothes, because for the most part, you would... You know, I think we would puke if we looked at the average person out there. You
oh,
know?
I know.
Yeah.
I'm actually...
Not everybody's lean and fit, you
That's
know?
For sure.
So,
well, I had a brilliant idea once upon a time of how to make America thinner. Mm-hmm. I was going to open up a donut shop with tapeworms. And so all the fat people would come and they would eat the... I had this idea when I was like 10.
Yeah.
And it's so fucked up. But like all the fat people would come and they would eat the donuts and get a tapeworm, and then they would just be skinny. And America would be really skinny and I would be really rich. But then I found out that was really illegal.
The tapeworm like donuts?
Yeah. The tapeworms, like, you put... I don't know. I didn't really figure out the exact plan of how to, like, cook the donut with the tapeworm in it without killing it.
I see.
But tapeworms like fat people because they eat a lot.
Really?
Yeah. You know, seriously, I'm dead serious when I tell you about this. My friends in Canada think I was totally crazy, because when I went to visit them last, my girlfriend who was taking care of my kitties called and said one of them had a tapeworm. Mm-hmm. And I was like, save it, save it.
Yeah.
And they were like, what are you talking about, save it? And I was like, we could sell that bitch. I live in Hollywood or, you know, Beverly Hills. Because tons of famous people and rich people have been caught doing this illegally and buying the tapeworms and using it as like a diet trick.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow.
It actually was a really big
problem
for a while.
How disgusting is that?
Wow. It's nasty.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they pretty big, those tapeworms?
They can grow to be like 200 feet.
Really?
I think.
Wow.
Don't quote me on that.
And they just sit in your intestines this whole time?
They sit in your intestines and they, like, bits and pieces of it break off, like, as you, I don't know, as you go to the bathroom and things like that.
Right.
But it never actually completely dies.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, how terrible. So but how do you get rid of it? Do you have to take something?
You have to take something that'll kill it. Or I heard you could take a flashlight and at night and, like, look at the butt and it'll poke its head out and you could pull it out.
Oh, my God, Susie. That was...
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it too early for this?
It's never... It's never the right time to think of that
I'm
visual.
I'm sorry. I've researched these things.
Oh, my God. Look at your asshole and the worms peeking out.
It does. Oh, it pokes its little head out. It's like, hi.
Oh, my God. That visual, man.
So go back to your news. Go back.
No, so... but you got to hear this about Madonna. Apparently, you know, she goes to the Kabbalah and stuff, you know, which is Jewish mysticism and stuff, which I'd taken for a year, you know.
Really?
Yeah, when I was in Israel.
I've always wanted to know a little bit more about it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you a little in a few minutes. But the point is that they're telling her teachers there,
yeah,
or whatever, tell her that she's actually 36, that she's 14 years younger than her true birth age. You know?
Is that like dog years?
Dog years, yeah.
So, she wishes.
Apparently, a British tabloid reported that Madonna banned party guests from referring to her being 50, and then including bringing cards, cakes, or presents that refer to her real age.
Wow.
Wow.
Does that mean I'm 14?
Probably. Except, yeah. Except you don't give them so much money, so they wouldn't be compelled to tell you you're 14 years younger.
I don't give them any money.
Yeah, but can you imagine how much Madonna has given them? Wow.
Yeah. Now, tell me about this a little bit.
Yeah. Well, the Kabbalah is like, it puts together like all kinds of mysticism, like astrology and numerology and all kinds of things like this. It explains to you the why of the things that the Bible tells you to do, you know, rather than just follow things blindly. So this is an ancient thing. But,
really?
But now they've made it sort of modern and made it like a pop thing.
I know. I definitely see a lot of people in Hollywood wearing like the red Kabbalah string and drinking Kabbalah water.
And
it's like bullshit.
People that are not even Jewish, you know, like
yes.
Madonna, you know. And apparently now on a related note, Lindsay Lohan is also rumored to want to convert to Judaism. And that's because she's hanging out, this chick she's hanging out with now is Jewish, I guess. So that probably rubbed off on her or something.
But, that's not the only thing rubbing off on
Lindsay. So, you know, I mean, but these are ancient things and people are just doing this to be hip or something, you know?
Yep.
But...
whatever, if it gets people to be a little bit more godly and be better people.
But it's not necessarily godly, that's what I mean. So I took this for a year. Excuse me, when I was in Israel about 12 years ago, and it was really, I mean, I was at a really bad time in my life, and it really picked me up, because it helped me realize there's order in the universe, it's not just chaos, because I was constantly feeling, you know, why me, why is everything happening to me, you know, and I was really depressed and shit, so this really helped me come out. I mean, I was like on such a manic state for so long, I felt like I was like, walking on water or something, you know? I mean, I had answers for everything. Nothing...
Did you wear the red string?
No, I didn't.
Did you drink the Kabbalah water?
No, didn't do that.
No, what is up with all that?
So it was more like about classes and they teach you about certain things. Like
it sounds like Scientology to me.
It is cultish when you think about it. So, you see, but when I took it in Israel, it was sort of like a natural thing to do it there. Mm. And then when I came back here and I went to the Kabbalah Center here in L.A., I realized that, this is not what I want. No. And then right before I left Israel to come back here, they started hitting me up for money for donations and
shit. Oh, of course.
Yeah. And that's when I started really being turned off by this. And then when I came here, like I said, it just wasn't the same, you know. And I started seeing through it and I thought, you know, fuck it. But what I realized is that, you know, you don't knock the message because of the messenger, you know. So there's still a lot to be learned there. And they sort of like connect.
I like that little saying.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that. I like it.
Yeah. So I always have these pearls of wisdom. But, yeah, so, I mean, it, it, I can't say it helped. I mean, I can't say it hurt. It really transformed my life to this day. I view things differently. You know? And
I'm sure some Scientologists can say the same thing.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily a bad thing, you know.
Which goes back to my point of saying, you know what I mean, even though it might be like a hip, trendy thing to do, if it's going to make some of our Hollywood starlets behave themselves a little bit more, or, you know, make them, I don't know, center themselves, or, I don't know, find some kind of faith in some higher being, then it can't be all bad.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know, but I'm always an optimist.
Yeah, I know you are. And that's awesome. You know, I mean, I wish I could be like this. I used to be a very big pessimist. But
more so than you are now.
Oh, shut up. Well, I think to you, anybody would seem negative because you're just constantly uppity.
Yes, I am rather
uppity. But I've improved over the years, really. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm mostly optimistic now. I mean, if I weren't, I wouldn't be able to do what we're doing right now. You know, wouldn't seem real or possible or achievable, you know. And we've got a great, interesting guest coming up.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, at 10 o'clock. And he's written a book. And you would be amazed what it's about, you know. So
of course, you're not going to tell me.
No,
I'm just teasing it
for now. And let's take a little break. And this one's for you, Susie.
I'm Jessica, and I wanted to meet someone who shares my passion for composting. That's why I went to EcoHarmony.com.
I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren. Are you earth-friendly, but alone? Do you have a desire to hug something other than trees? The EcoHarmony.com is the dating site for you.
I was looking for a woman who wouldn't laugh at me because I drive a Prius, and I found her on EcoHarmony.com.
At EcoHarmony.com, we match singles based on 29 levels of environmental consciousness, social awareness, and carbon neutrality.
Thanks to EcoHarmony.com, I found the perfect match. He's a vegan, a musical gardener who raises money to save the whales. Oh, and he's also my ex-boyfriend, Ken.
We're recycling.
So log on to EcoHarmony.com today and discover the joy of finding that one special, self-righteous soulmate of sustainability.
In a world where shitty talk radio proliferates the internet, two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Susie in the morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
listening to LA Talk Radio. You're listening to the best morning show on internet radio. It's Sam and Susie in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Sam, I just wanted to give you a friendly F you for that eHarmony or Eco Harmony thing. No, but seriously, that was too funny. And it actually reminded me to check out my eHarmony account because I've been kind of absent from it for the past month or so.
Yeah? You've taken a break?
Well, I just kind of forget about it when the Franz and I are back on again.
Yeah.
It's only when I get really heated and angry with him that I'm like, oh yeah, I'll show you. I'm going to go on eHarmony and browse all of the men out there that potentially want to date me.
Yeah.
Marry me.
Yeah. Do they really want to? I mean, I heard like on eHarmony is probably different, but I heard on Match.com, it's just like a meat market.
People. Well, why the hell am I not on Match.com?
I don't know. You're in the wrong place. But people are assholes there. You know, I tried it before I met my wife. And
Match.com?
Yeah. And it was shit. A lot of rude people and stuff. And yeah, because I would imagine the women are probably just tired of all these guys trying to just get sex from them. That, I think they become men haters.
You know what you should actually check out? There's a website called, I forget what it is, but it might be like seekingsugardaddy.com.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I have a girlfriend, sorry to the listeners out there, that hear the clicking of the Hall's cough drop in my mouth.
Well, you can stick it on the side like I do, but.
I'm trying. It's hard. I'm a sucker. But yeah, so seekingsugardaddy.com. I actually had a friend that was in New York City who did it. And she wanted someone that would just kind of like take her out to dinner and buy her. Actually, she had a friend that she worked with, a colleague, who did the same site. And the girl was like, oh, it's fabulous. I get a new $5,000 bag every month.
Wow.
And so my girlfriend was like, oh, I'm going to try it.
Mm-hmm.
Fine, I'll take my coffer out too. Yeah. So she goes out to dinner with this one guy and she's like, oh, I'm so poor, I'm so broke and this and that. And I have no groceries in my fridge. And the guy actually gave her like $200, like right on the spot, and was like, "Put some groceries in your fridge and this and that." And then
guys are such fucking suckers.
Well, no,
man, I'm telling
you. She wanted to have this relationship where she gets the money, but she didn't want to actually put out.
I see.
And so anyway, the guy was like, "Oh, you know, let's share a cab uptown, and I'll take you back to your apartment." And so in the cab ride, he totally like jumps her and is like trying to rape her in the cab.
Wow.
And she literally had to like kick him out of the cab and like tell the cab driver to like, you know, not go back to her exact address right now. And
yeah. So what did you think? What did she think a sugar daddy is?
I don't know.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But she wanted
that's
all
funny.
She wanted everything without having to put out.
Yeah, right. There's a price for everything.
Yes, yes, yeah. That there is.
And everybody has their price.
Just gotta figure out what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever drink those energy drinks like Red Bull and stuff?
I do drink Red Bull.
Yeah?
Not
Isn't
like
it
on
like
a regular
gross?
No.
Really?
I don't really drink it on like a regular basis. Something I'm kind of into on my bike rides is Sparks.
Yeah.
Do you know what Sparks is?
No.
It's kind of, I don't know if it's like it's like an energy malt beverage beer kind of thing. It's like an orange soda that's really caffeinated and highly alcoholic.
Really?
Yep. It gets you absolutely wasted but really hyper. Maybe that's why I have all the bruises on my legs from getting drunk and falling off my bike and bouncing around too much.
Yeah. So I mean, at any rate, but they're saying that Red Bull could possibly give you a heart attack or a stroke.
Especially if you mix it with alcohol.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah. This is what they're saying. They're saying that researchers say it could increase the risk even in younger drinkers. And they say Red Bull causes the blood to become sticky, which is a
Ew.
Precursor to cardiovascular problems. Red Bull is banned in Norway, Uruguay, and Denmark because
what?
Of health risks listed on its cans.
Wow.
But apparently they sold 3.5 billion cans in 143 countries.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And the company, by its own admission, says, advises people not to drink any more than 2 cans per day.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, I have a guest that we should potentially have on to come and dispute this thing. He's actually a representative for Red Bull. And
oh,
he's
really?
Really cute.
Really? Okay.
Yes. So I'll have to call him after the show and
see
if he wants to come
on. Yeah, we should find out about this. Because you know,
he's great
I heard
eye candy in the studio, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
What did you hear?
For you, yeah. For you.
It can't be all about you, Sam.
No, I guess not. Yeah. But you like girls, too.
Yes,
yeah,
I mean, no, I do.
Yeah, but we got a male guest today, so that should be fine. But at any rate, I read that Red Bull, the whole idea was that the inventor of this was in Thailand or something, and they have all kinds of like concoctions and shit, and he saw this, and apparently this was supposed to give you stamina and energy and all this shit. So
in bed?
So I don't know where, but apparently he took that thing and created a formula, and that's how the drink was born. But it started in Austria, I think, or some.
And there is and there's another rumor about it. I don't know if it's true or not. Probably not. But that there's bull sperm in it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's a fucking rumor. That's.
I don't know. There might be no some truth to it. There could be.
There is no fucking way.
That's why it's like Red Bull, taurine, and all this other stuff. You know, it gives you a little extra.
Bull sperm.
Yes, I'm telling you. That's been like a really.
Sounds like an urban legend. I don't think that's.
I don't
There's
know.
There's no fucking way.
Who well, would put we'll bring the Red Bull rep in here and we'll have him tell us the truth.
Yeah, like they'd admit it, right?
Ew. No, I used to drink a lot of Red Bull and vodkas when I was in England, back when I was dating good old James. I should tell him to listen to the show.
Yeah.
He was so wonderful. I never should have broken up with him.
Oh.
Franz gets really mad at me when I talk about my ex-boyfriends.
Yeah.
I was telling him yesterday.
Well, I would too.
Well, I was telling him yesterday, I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to marry Todd. I really never should have broken up with Todd. Mm-hmm. He's like, Susie, you can't say that. I'm sitting in the room right next to you. Right. Who are you texting? I was like, Todd, I'm telling him that I'm going to marry him.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm done messing around with everything. He's like, stop texting right now. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't know. He just thinks I'm a little heartless
bitch. Have you ever thought of what it'd be like to be him around you?
Oh, God.
Gotta be pretty miserable.
I'm a wretched bitch.
You put the guy down like there's no tomorrow.
Oh.
I put him down and then I treat him like shit.
And then I build him back up again.
Yeah.
Right when he can't get any lower in the world.
No, I was thinking about it. I mean, you gotta admire him for sticking around. I don't think most men would. No, I'm saying not because you're a bad person, but because you're all over the place. You know, I mean, by your own admission, you're constantly, like, on the prowl. I mean, you're constantly looking at guys and shit and stuff. That's hard for any person to
take. But then again, you said you're constantly looking at other women. You know what I mean? Like, sex is always on your mind.
No, but I may be looking, but I don't pick them up. I mean, you know, you... Look, I'm not trying to say you're bad or worse. I'm just saying that in monogamous relationships, it's hard when one of the people constantly talks about other people.
Well, I was having a conversation with someone the other day, and they were saying, you know, oh, Susie, you're just so friendly. I mean, you're just out there, like we were walking around the streets of Venice, and, you know, I'm just talking to every person that I come up to on the street. Uh-huh. And my friend was just like, Susie, all of these people are getting the wrong idea. They totally think you want to take them home and just, like, shag the living daylights out of them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, they don't. They think I'm just, like, being the nice, typical all-American girl next door.
Yeah.
Just being friendly.
How do you know what they think?
I don't know, because that's kind of what I expect them to think, or what I hope they're going to think.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe women think that way, but all I can tell you is it's not... I mean, it's like amazing that you're like that. You know, you get to meet a lot of people, you're fun to be with and everything, but most people are not like that. So if you walk on the street and you're doing whatever and this chick starts talking to you, yes, you think she's trying to pick you up because women generally do not do that.
Well, you know, I'm kind of beginning to realize this. Like, the one guy I picked up in the car the other day... all of a sudden, like, we exchanged numbers because I was like, oh, yeah, I've got a radio show. Oh, you're a musician. Oh, I'd love to have you on the show. Blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And he was really hot. but so we now text message, like, every day. And he's like, oh, what are you doing tonight? Oh, I'd love to take you out for a drink. Oh, I'd love to take you out for dinner.
Right.
And I'm starting to get the idea that it's not platonic.
Duh. You see, and I think in that respect, you're being a little bit naive, you know?
I know.
I really think you are.
But I've always kind of been naive. Like, I used to hitchhike all over the place.
Really?
Especially when I lived in Colorado, I would hitchhike everywhere, and I would pick up hitchhikers all the time.
Wow.
You
see, nothing frightens you, and that's the amazing thing about you. I mean, that's why you do the things you do. But it fascinates me. I wish I could be like that, you know? Then you can fucking do anything you want.
I know, but one of these days, like, I'm going to be hacked into a million pieces for doing...
No, don't say that.
Well, I don't know. This one time in Colorado, I was really bored, and I kind of wanted to go on a motorcycle ride, so I went and I sat on the corner of a busy street until a motorcyclist, he was actually a pretty hot guy. He had long blonde hair, though. I don't usually like guys with really long blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, down to his butt.
Really?
And you don't have there wasn't a helmet law in Colorado at the time. And so he pulls up to the red light, and he looks at me, and I smile, and I stand up, and I was like, you just out for a cruise? And he's like, yeah. I was like, do you mind if I join you? And he's like, okay. So, you know, I hop on the back of his bike. We go for an amazing, like, bike ride all the way up into the mountains, and we're zipping around everywhere. So then we have to stop and get gas. And this is, like, probably 2 blocks from my dorm room at the time. And so he stops to go in and pay for the gas. And I see him in there, and he goes and he buys Bianca. And I'm watching this as he's, like, spraying it in his mouth. And then he comes back out, and he's like, so, now what? And I was like, now I'm going to walk back to my dorm. Have a good day.
Yeah.
He's like, what? That's it? I was like, no, no.
Yeah.
You didn't, what do you think I want? Nothing. Yeah. I just wanted to go on a motorcycle ride.
Yeah, you see, that's the point. It's not traditional, so people mistake it, you know.
There's nothing traditional about me.
No, no. So you should maybe wear a t-shirt that says, you know, platonic only, or, yeah, don't expect more, you know. What you see is what you get.
What you see is what you get. I've got one that says, you were never my boyfriend. Which a lot of my exes don't really like. They're like, I hate that shirt. Take it off. and I had another one. Oh, I've got to find that collection of t-shirts. Actually, you know what? Maybe I'll do that tonight. I'm kind of having a little girl party at my apartment to go through all of my clothes. We're going to have a massive, like, naked fashion show in my little apartment.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. How many people are you going to fit in there?
Five of us.
Five
of us.
In a small studio?
In a small studio.
Wow.
Yeah. I haven't told LaFranz yet. He needs to be kicked out for the night.
Enjoy yourself.
Oh, I will. We're going to have a grand old time.
So what are you doing with the clothes now?
I have a million designer clothes, just like filling up trunks and everything. Things that I never wear. And a lot of things are warmer things that I would wear on the East Coast when it gets really cold.
Right.
You know, for like the Boston, New York climate. And I've got girlfriends that are going back to school in Canada. And I really don't need to have all of these things here. So I'm trying to downsize and be a little bit more of a minimalist, because right now I am a pack rat and it's driving me nuts.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some things I just have to change.
Yeah. It's amazing how many clothes. I mean, just based on what you're saying, you must have a lot of clothes.
I do.
Wow.
And shoes.
And I bet you only wear the same stuff all the time, right?
Well,
the
you
same
see me five, every day. I wear things. Like the same skirt, the same like t-shirt, whatever.
Yeah. You know, and that's like, I think, the case with most people. You know?
I know.
Yeah. So then eventually, I mean, occasionally we go through the closet and just get rid of stuff, you know.
It's just hard. I become very attached to things, even though I never wear them. It's just like, well, what if one day I might?
You see, that's what amazes me, because you don't get attached to people and to places, but you get attached to things, you know?
And
you
animals. That?
Yeah, because, I mean, you're able to move around from one place to the other, no problem.
That's because I'm a gypsy.
Yeah, you're a gypsy. and you can't be a gypsy if you're attached to things or to places. Or to people, you know.
I know. It gets expensive being a gypsy when you're attached to things, because then you've got to pay to have them shipped out and have your things follow you everywhere.
Yeah.
It's really not practical. So I'm trying to change so I could be more gypsy-like.
Yeah. So at what point did you decide you're a gypsy?
Well, I always had kind of thought, you know what I mean, like with my parents getting a divorce at an early age and, you know, constantly being moving in different houses and, I don't know, back and forth between my mom and my dad, and then going to boarding school. And then going to Colorado, and I lived in like 10 different places there.
Right.
And then being in the army and moving around with them. And then just traveling around the world and knowing that I'm going to live in so many different places.
Yeah.
I always have kind of felt that I'm not very settled, like physically. Like it doesn't really matter like where I live or anything, because it doesn't matter. That's not really my home.
Right.
Like literally my home is where my heart is. And
yeah. And that's the thing, because you move so many times, you don't know where your home is anymore.
I don't have this like settled feeling.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we moved around a lot too when I was a kid. And then, you know, when I left Israel at 16, God, I've lived in so many different places. I've counted, last time I counted, which was a few years ago, I'd lived in maybe 23 different places in my life.
Wow.
Which is a lot. You know, so how do you attach? You know, you don't want to attach.
Well, now that you're older and settled, you know, you have a wife and a family and things like that, I think that kind of grounds you a little bit more and makes you a little bit more of not gypsy, a non-gypsy person.
Yeah.
But a lot of people think it's a robbing, thieving gypsy.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you still have your wallet. Not that kind.
Yeah, this reminds me of this homeless. I was walking to work. And did you see him with the sign on the sidewalk there? Mm-hmm. And he's like, go ahead, ignore the homeless. What do you want us to die? You know, and I'm going like, fuck.
Whoa.
This is another way to get money.
Wow. People go for all kinds of like shock value tactics.
Yeah.
But actually last night I was on the Venice Pier with some friends. We went on a bike ride and we went to go get ice cream. And then there was a street performer, this Chinese man or Japanese man. Sorry, I couldn't tell the difference. We're going to go with Asian. So we've got this Asian man who's doing these really cool things. And he's got like a tennis racket, and he'll take the tennis racket and he'll put it on his chin. And then he'll take a ball and he'll be spinning the ball on his finger. And then he'll put that on top of the tennis racket, which is bouncing on his chin.
Yeah.
And then he'll put another ball on top of that. And, you know, they're all rotating in different ways. And he was really, really good at doing this. But then for his finale, he had a tray. And the bottom part of the tray had four martini glasses on it that were full. And then it had another tray on top of it that had one more martini glass in the middle. And so after he'd been doing all of his little tricks and everything and getting everyone excited, he would turn up this awful, awful, like, 80s music and just start dancing around. And, like, no one was really clapping that much, even though we were all kind of amazed.
Yeah.
You know, it was nice to see, but it wasn't like, ooh. So anyway, he went to give his bucket out. And so he's like, okay, everyone, you give $5. There are 120 people here. Everyone give $1. Make you holla. And we're just like, okay. I didn't have any money with me, so my friends, like, loaned me 50 cents. So like, I went up and put it in the bucket. And he, like, noticed specifically that I put money in the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
So then five other little kids came up and put money in. He actually freaked out on the audience and went around and, like, tapped each person and looked in each person's eyes and, like, shoved the bucket in the face.
Wow.
And was like, I'm not homeless. I work. I'm a working man. Blah, blah, blah. This ain't free. And so, I mean, he just...
This ain't free.
I've never seen anyone just, like, come through and shove these buckets, like, in the face. And he probably actually ended up getting, like, $80 as opposed to if he had just stopped.
Yeah.
And just, like, perform the finale.
Yeah.
But for the finale, he ended up, like, balancing that thing on a stick on his chin and jumping up and down and dancing to the cheesy 80s music.
Yeah. No, I mean, these people are no fools. I mean, they really know psychology. They know how to put you on the spot.
They put so many people on the spot.
Yeah, and it's really... And then you don't have a choice, you know, and that's how they make their money. You can't make money if you're passive. You know, you got to be out there. And when they figure that out, man, they make a bundle. You know?
I had friends that did a kind of a social experiment in Boulder, Colorado. You know, just all these different signs out there. I mean, the one sign that I'm really getting sick of, I mean, it's so old at this point. It's like, you know what, man? Like, just fuck it. Why lie? I need a beer and a joint.
Yeah.
It's like, haha, that was funny like 10 years ago. But now you got to be a little bit more creative.
Yeah.
But I had friends that actually would do these experiments in Boulder, and they would try and collect as much money as they could wearing different outfits, looking really poor, looking like a little poor, looking actually really rich, being like, my boyfriend stole my car, and like, he left me stranded here, you know. But they would end up making like hundreds of dollars a day.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I heard actually that...
if you see me on the corner with a little Starbucks cup.
Yeah. See, I don't know about the homeless here, but I can tell you that the ones that are at the freeway exits and stuff, some of them make a lot of money. I read somewhere that they had one TV crew wanted to do a report, so one of them dressed like a homeless and stood there.
Wow.
And made like a couple hundred bucks a day.
Seriously, it might be my new profession.
Yeah, yeah.
I could dress like a bum. I could sit there and be lazy all day.
Yeah, there you go.
Doesn't sound half bad.
That's the way to go through life.
I don't know. When I was little and doing commercials and stuff in the city, my mom would always send me with like a bag lunch.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I'd get there, I never wanted to eat my bag lunch. So I would walk or take the subway instead of taking the cab and save the money that she gave me.
Yeah.
And then take myself out for a very nice sushi lunch or something. But I would always give the homeless people my lunch.
Yeah.
And some of them were like, I don't want that shit. I was like, excuse me, this is a tuna sandwich that my mother made with love. Or it's a nice peanut butter and jelly. Fuck you.
Can you fucking believe that?
They're like, I can't fucking buy beer with that. I'm like, wow, douchebag. Okay, sorry for trying to be nice.
Yeah, but at the same time, sometimes you give those people food.
And they're so like, appreciative.
Oh, yeah. You know, you go on 3rd Street Promenade, you have all those homeless people there.
Mm.
And they always go where there's a lot of people because that's where they make their money.
Yeah. Definitely.
Shit. Can you imagine being fucking homeless, man?
When I kick the Franz out, he's homeless.
Yeah?
Seriously. He lived on the streets for like 10 days.
What?
Yeah.
And you didn't care?
Well, I did care, but you know what I mean? Like, I'd reached my point. Like, I kept giving him deadlines. I'm like, you have to have a job by July 1st, or you have to give me rent money. You know, it got to a point where I was just, like, enabling him to do nothing.
Yeah.
And so I had to kind of do this, like, for my own sanity.
Yeah.
And so come July 1st, he didn't have, like, a steady job, and he didn't have, you know, the rent money or whatever. And so then I was like, okay, I can't kick him out because that's totally heartless. So I extended it by a week and then by 2 weeks. And then eventually I'm like, I can't keep fucking doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
So I kicked him out and he literally, he went and whored around, staying with random friends and things like that. Uh-huh. But eventually you kind of wear out your welcome with your friends.
Yeah.
And he literally would just like ride his bike on the streets of LA until sunshine.
Wow.
And then he would like find a bench and hang out or whatever.
Yeah.
So, seriously, when I look at these homeless faces sometimes, I'm kind of like, oh, like it could be my boyfriend.
You guys have the most fucking dysfunctional relationship I've ever seen.
But I will tell you, when I took him back, we had the best angry sex ever.
Yeah.
Because after you make someone homeless for 10 days, they really hate you.
Really?
Really hate you. But God, that was hot.
Oh, man.
You think I'm completely nuts, I know.
No. You're you. You know, that's why you're here.
I always have you giving me this look over there. You're just like, oh my God.
But you know, I corresponded with Janique over the weekend, with Shaniqua. And she said, I really learned my lesson. And I said, good.
Oh, good. What, yeah. Did you email her or Facebook her?
Facebook, yeah. And
For all those out there, she won't mind, but she got a DUI this weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so awful. I feel so terrible for her. And the fucked up part was, okay, so the guy she had the one-night stand with.
Yeah. This is, by the way, this is Janique, who is Susie's best friend.
Yes, she my was best here friend in the world.
Yes.
So anyway, the guy she had the one-night stand with called me. I don't know, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning or something on Saturday. And, you know, I just stopped back in from my apartment, or to my apartment from the bike ride. And anyway, he's like, oh, can I come over? I was like, well, I'm just, you know, watching my soap opera for a little bit, and, you know, I might pass out. I'm really wasted. And he's like, that's okay. Do you mind if I come over? And I was like, if you don't mind watching my soap opera with me wasted on the couch, sure. Mm-hmm. So he comes over. He had the nerve to hit on me. He really did. I was like, you just...
Now, who's this guy again?
The guy Janique had her one-night stand with.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So he had just fucked my best friend.
Right.
And he knows I have a boyfriend.
Right.
And he actually came over to my apartment, proceeded to like pour me single malt scotch, which I can't resist, and get me even more liquored up. And he's like, why don't you put your head on my lap? And I was like, ew, why don't I put my feet on your lap, buddy, and you can rub them? I was like, oh, that's a better way to start.
So, I mean, I find this extremely hilarious because, I mean, of all the guys out there that you would go to bed with in a second, then when you have the opportunity, you don't.
Well, I don't want to sleep with a guy that my best friend just like slept with.
Yeah,
that's just dirty and gross. And besides, I have a boyfriend anyway.
Right.
But I just invited him over because I'm typical naive Susie, thinking, oh, you know, he's lonely. He just wants to have a friend to hang out with.
Yeah.
Sure, come on over and hang out.
Yeah.
Put your head on my lap, baby. Oh yeah. Mm. Ew.
Yeah.
So then he's like,
but now if it was somebody else, would you have done it?
No, because I have a boyfriend right now who could have walked in at any second.
So it doesn't matter how hot they are, you wouldn't do it.
Well, not unless, no.
Your boyfriend was coming home, but you could have left and done it somewhere else.
But at that moment in time, like, my boyfriend and I are on good terms, and I decided, you know.
Yeah.
He's actually the only person I really feel like being intimate with at this moment in time.
Yeah. That's cool.
And if the urge comes up, who knows?
Yeah.
But I'll...
Yeah, you probably need a break.
Yes, that's for sure.
Yeah, so you need a break from all the other guys. So this is good for you.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But so anyway, so as he's over at the house, we end up calling Janique. And she's drunk too in Denver doing this architecture thing. And I tell her, I was like, Joe, I'm like, don't drive drunk tonight. And who am I to say this? You know, I drink and drive a little bit every now and then, which is not that good, I know. But anyway, I never tell her not to drink and drive. But this time, for some reason, I had this like warning bell in the back of my head going off. I was like, don't drink and drive tonight. She's like, no, I'll be fine. She calls me the next day. She's like, I just got out of jail.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, oh, honey. I was like, I told you so. But,
How fucking terrible, honey.
I know.
Yeah.
Have you ever had one?
No.
Oh.
No.
I haven't either. It's a miracle.
Yeah.
That or an STD.
Yeah. No, I would never want to step into a fucking jail.
Mm.
No.
Not good.
No. So I try to stay within the law.
And she was telling me that the police officers were kind of like harassing her and just being, you know, asking questions that were really not related to the case.
Really?
And just being kind of inappropriate.
Yeah.
Like being like, ooh, so do you have a boyfriend? And
are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
See, men are fucking dogs and pigs, I told you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dogs are much nicer than pigs.
Yeah. I mean, no fucking class at all.
Nope. And I mean, how could she ever prove something like that?
Yeah. And these are the people you're supposed to trust.
I know.
You know?
these are the people that are out there protecting our rights and making sure that we're okay, and I don't know.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. But she blew a point, I think, 0.187.
Wow.
Which is ridiculously high.
It really is.
Ridiculously high. Good for you, Joe.
0.18? Are you serious?
Yes.
It can't be.
Yes. And that was after...
I mean, 0.08 you're drunk, right?
Yes. Uh-huh. 0.187, you're really drunk.
Now, what's the urge for someone to get so fucked up? I mean, what are they running away from that they need to be so fucked up?
I don't know. Like, we were actually talking about that the next day, and it's like, well, why do both of us like drinking get fucked up? I do it so I can sleep at night. No,
that's
just
a fucking excuse. Yeah,
I do it for the kids.
For the kids.
For the kids.
Okay.
Did I tell you about that?
No.
It's my little project for the kids. Okay. There's a website. Actually, one of my friends, Eric, told me. He's like, you drink all this wine. He's like, you might as well do something productive. And there's some company called Corks for Kids. Mm. And for every cork that you give this company, they give, like, I don't know, 50 cents or a dollar to some charitable organization that supports kids.
Oh, that's cool.
Therefore, I don't drink for myself, Sam. It's not selfish
at all.
I
see. It's altruistic.
Okay. It's for the fucking kids, man.
Okay. I didn't fucking realize that.
Yes.
Okay. So I take it all back.
Here you are thinking I'm a selfish
bitch
over here.
It's okay. Keep drinking and driving drunk, and that's fine.
Well, no, I'm not driving so much anymore. Janiqua's bad girl.
Yeah. No, is it illegal to ride a bike when you're drunk?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Just as illegal as driving a car.
Really?
Yep. We call them...
Except you can't cause any fucking damage. I mean, you know...
Yes, you can.
With a bike?
You could, like, say you dart out in front of traffic or something, or swerve, yeah, or fall off your bike, and a car is coming at you, and they have to swerve into the oncoming lane, and then they have a head-on collision.
Yeah, yeah.
Most often, you will probably only hurt yourself.
Yeah.
But, and so I think that's kind of the risk that people take when they ride their bicycles drunk. But yeah, so the Franz actually got arrested, I told you, for having a buoy.
That's true.
Bicycling,
yeah,
under the
influence. He was on the bicycle. That's
right. He was
right.
On a bicycle.
Wow.
Yep. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
So people really don't seem to think that.
But I like that. I mean, I like that. You know, you need some safety.
That.
Yeah, I like that.
You
they
like
have
that, that? You like that he got arrested for?
No, not that he did. Oh. But I'm glad that it's illegal.
Why?
Because you just described it to me. You just give me the answer.
Well, that's not really going to happen.
Well, because how all do you
of us,
know?
Because we're all like very capable drunks and capable cyclists.
Yeah, you are, but not maybe many others are not.
Well, all the people that are in my cycling group are very capable drunks and cyclists. Therefore, they usually...
Oh, that makes me feel good.
We usually only hurt ourselves. Hence all of the bruises on my legs. I look like I've been in a train wreck today. Oi. Tell me to wear pants tomorrow.
Yeah, so, wait a minute. So you have a t-shirt with Gypsy on it too?
Yes, actually.
Okay. But it's a
Woodstock.
It looks like the Woodstock thing.
Yeah, what does it say? More days.
But Woodstock only had one bird on the guitar, didn't it? And then the new one had three.
I don't remember.
Is that true?
It was a little before my time.
Mm, yeah.
But yeah, this is a whole line of clothing I found at Fred Siegel that's called Gypsy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this might look like a trashy little ratty t-shirt, but it's not.
Yeah. It's the same one like that has the zodiac signs on it. Same kind of shirt.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Very simple. The brushed cotton.
Yeah.
Which is actually, this shirt is really expensive, like for this stupid little see-through
material.
And it's so, like, it fades, like, I don't know, you wash it and it basically disintegrates.
Yeah, because, I mean, it looks very thin, you know, very thin cotton.
You know me.
Yeah, yeah, well.
Thin shirts.
Yeah.
Some things never
change. I don't know, I think we've just been stood up by a fucking guest again.
You know what, I was gonna tell you that, I thought he was probably going to stand us up. Or maybe he's having problems with parking, hopefully.
No, I mean, look, if you went to a radio station for an interview, wouldn't you be there 15, 20 minutes before? You know.
That would be the appropriate thing to do, but then again, we are in LA time.
Yeah, that's true. And but yeah, I mean, whatever, you know. If the thing is that they ruin it for other people though, because you know, you could have scheduled a different guest there. So the least you can do is fucking send an email, make a phone call, just say I can't make it.
Yep.
You know? But to flake out, that's like a really LA thing.
It really,
you know?
really is.
And it really pisses me off, you know.
I know.
I mean, I hate flakes and I hate liars.
Yeah.
You know?
I have a hard time sometimes telling, I don't know, like with the apartment search and things that I've been going through, thank God I found a place. But the one guy, he really, you know, he kind of was like pressuring me into taking the place, and he's just like, you will never find anything better than this. Like, this is your paradise. Blah, 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 blah. And I didn't want to like burst his bubble and be like, are you kidding me? This is a shithole. But so then as like he's giving me the rental application, he's like writing out the exact numbers that I would need to take one shithole versus the other shithole. I'm like, it's okay. I could do the math. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like 800 plus 800 is, ooh, ding, 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 1600. As he's writing all this shit out for me. But then he like called me and stalked me for like 5 days afterward.
Are you serious?
It's like, if I was interested in the apartment, yeah, I would have called you back immediately and you would have had the check in your hand.
Yeah.
You can't like stalk someone that's doing this. But something I'm kind of bad with is like saying no to people. Mm. Being like, no, you know, I'm sorry. Thank you for showing me this. I'm not going to waste your time. I'm not interested. Yeah. That's something I need to learn how to do.
Yeah. So you kind of beat around the bush and you're not
direct. I kind of beat around the bush a little bit. I'm not really direct. Yeah. I don't know.
Hmm.
I have a lot of friends that, well, former friends that used to take advantage of me because they knew I was the same way.
Yeah.
And they would literally like drive me up a wall.
Really?
Before I would get to the point where I would have like a complete breakdown before they would know that anything was even bothering me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, so you keep it all welled up inside?
I keep a lot of things inside.
Wow.
Yeah. I was telling you the little story before about how I watched my dog get hit by a car, and my mom was like, don't cry, you'll get puffy eyes for tomorrow. And it's like, okay. So I couldn't cry.
Get puffy eyes.
Seriously.
I mean, your mom sounds like those characters in Hollywood Wives, you know?
Well, she was a stage mom.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the way they are, and that's the way all like my friends' moms were.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
They're like, I was only allowed to have 10 grapes.
Very shallow?
I wouldn't say, I mean, I have a hard time trying to decide if it was shallow or, you know, she really just wanted me to succeed in this career.
Yeah.
And in order to do so, you know, I literally could not have puffy eyes if I showed up the next
day.
That's
true, yeah.
But I mean, when it came down to my diet, that really became an issue for me because she's like, you can only have 10 grapes.
Really?
Like a day.
So like, have you had like issues with food in your life
after that? Oh, hardcore.
Really?
Tons.
Really?
Like it got to the point where I really liked pretzel sticks when I was a little girl,
mm-hmm,
and I wasn't allowed to have them. So I would like have to buy a bag like and sneak it into the house, and I would actually like eat it in bed. I would put one pretzel stick in my mouth and I would suck the salt off of it.
Uh-huh.
And then I was always afraid my mom would hear me crunching the pretzels,
right,
and like find out my pretzel habit. You know, it could have been a worse problem, like cocaine or something. I don't know.
That's terrible, though.
But I would snap it in half into four pieces, and then I would swallow the pieces whole.
Wow.
And to this day, I've never been able to chew a pretzel.
Really?
Yeah. So people watch me eat a pretzel, and I look like a fucking freak.
Yeah.
With it, like, sliding down my throat. Like, my sister always told me I could choke and die.
Yeah.
And that she would find me, like, dead in bed.
Yeah, see, that's why I don't think kids should work, you know? I really don't. Because then you put them through shit like this, you know? And because, she was trying to be protective of you and everything. But but look what it did to you, you know?
I know.
Yeah. So kind of throw the baby with the bathwater.
Hey. Aw. Well, I guess our guest really is not showing up.
No, so are you ready for the Go Topless weekend?
I am. I'm very excited
about
this.
But you won't be here.
Wait a minute. I am. I'm coming back early for my trip to Vegas.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow.
I am dedicated to this.
Yes, you are.
And I'm trying to get all of my girlfriends to come and do it.
Yeah.
But they told me if I could convince the toughest one that they'll all do it.
Yeah.
And so I'm really working hard to convince the toughest one.
Really?
But she's tough.
Yeah. Now, what do you get out of this? I mean, why do you want to do this so bad?
I don't know. I really kind of agree with what's going on with it. And I think that if men can be topless on the beach, that women should be able to be topless on the beach.
So you're really doing this for the cause, not just because you want to
be topless?
Show off your boobs, yeah.
No, definitely. I really do believe in the cause.
Really?
And it's something that I love doing whenever I go up to Canada, too. It's like, you know what? I can take my top off right here, so I'm going to.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just think it's very repressive that, you know, and a double standard for men and women. And therefore, I'm going to do it for the cause.
I don't think it's a double standard. I really don't.
I do, too.
It's because we're different. I mean, we have different fucking bodies, you know? You can say it's a double standard that men can't wear thongs or something, you know?
They can wear thongs.
They can wear thongs, but they don't.
Some of them do. We have a lot of Europeans on the beaches in Malibu.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, I don't know. I guess that was a bad example. But no, I mean, we are different, you know? And as long as breasts are going to be considered sexual, then it's
not going
to happen.
Well, maybe they don't have to be considered sexual.
Maybe they don't.
Maybe they shouldn't be.
Maybe they shouldn't be.
Well, you disagree with that.
But you can see that even in... I mean, you can see like topless in some African and Australian
and it's not
tribes
sexual
and
there.
Shit. No, it's not. But that's because their culture didn't planted that
way. Well, maybe
way,
our culture needs to change.
But I don't think it's going to happen.
Hmm.
Yeah. So you're being idealistic, and that's cool.
Well, I don't know.
But it's not going to happen.
It might happen. It happened in New York.
You know what?
You did send me that whole thing.
Yeah, but just look at the... you'll see the reactions of people there.
What do you think it's going to be?
I think it's going to be everybody...
Leering,
laughing. Yes.
That's okay.
Everybody's going to be judging all the breasts and everything, and the fact that women actually are doing this.
Maybe initially, and you know, we're going to have to get people over the shock value of things by shocking them.
Yeah. Yeah, so you go, you watch it there. The average man is going to go watch it, then go home, drop a batch or something.
You know what? No. Move on. Ew. Yuck. No, honestly, you know what I think? I think people might initially be a little bit shocked and surprised, but we are doing it on the Venice boardwalk, and there's so many fucking weird, freaky people doing that like a horde of like, you know, topless women, I'm sure is really not even going to phase like the majority of people.
You're wrong.
You're wrong.
It's a big fucking deal.
I could be wrong.
No, I mean, okay, I'm sorry. I think you're wrong.
Okay. Maybe.
I just think it's going to be I don't know, like a horny fest or something, you know?
And it could be, but I also like to think that maybe it won't be, that maybe people will be mature enough understand what we're doing and why we're doing it and support us.
Yeah, maybe like some people will, but for the most part, I think you're going to get the opposite result. Rather than making it mainstream, you know, it's going to be a novelty. You know, and everybody's going to look and stuff. But regardless, I mean, it's nice that people care about this shit. And I don't know if it's going to happen, but maybe one day it will, you know.
But anyway, so I'm going to drive back. My sister's going to be in Vegas. Actually, she's getting there tonight. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going until Wednesday. But I'm going to leave early Saturday morning and come back for it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it starts, at noon,
at
right?
Noon.
Yeah. So you'll be back by then.
And I like leaving early in the morning or driving late at night anyway. So that'll be, well, not early in the morning usually. Maybe I just won't go to bed.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
We have tomorrow. A phone call. Oh, we do?
Yeah. In fact, we've had a few phone calls, but we were so so busy talking that I said, fuck it, you know. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's calling?
Tom from Boston.
Hi, Tom. Is this Tom Brooks?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my goodness. How are you?
I call and say hello.
Aw. Tom, can you tell everyone where I know you from?
You know me from New York of East Middlesex, or where we used to work.
Yeah.
Where?
I used to work with Tom at a place called East Middlesex Association for Retarded Citizens.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was a skills instructor for a severely retarded man for a year.
Really?
Yeah. It was quite a challenging job, but very, very rewarding.
I'm sure.
Once in our hellos and say good luck with your event.
Oh, thank you so much. With the gotopless.org?
Yep, good luck, and don't go too crazy, because I went off and saying, oh my God, what is she doing now?
Yeah. We'll take some video, man, and send it to you. Do you guys have this kind of stuff in Boston?
Send it to our former coworker, T. Bolton, not me.
Yeah. Do you guys have this kind of stuff in Boston, too?
No, we don't. I don't go into Boston that much. I'm more the small town guy that stays in a small town and don't go into Boston that often.
Oh, I see.
He's right outside of it.
Oh, I see. Okay, because he said from Boston, so I thought.
Yes.
But, wow.
Oh.
So how long haven't you seen Susie?
It's been a few months now. The last time I saw her, she didn't recognize me right away, and I didn't recognize her right away.
Yeah, I've definitely changed quite a bit. You too. You're growing up. You're becoming a good man there, Tom.
How old are you, Tom?
I'm working as hard as I can. Yeah. I'm 22.
23? 22. Oh, 22. Wow, you're young.
Yeah, and you're getting up there, too, though.
What are you doing in Massachusetts? Come out to L.A.
Huh?
Come out to L.A. This is where all the action is. What are you doing back east?
Well, I'm trying to study voiceover acting, and I really can't get my voices down. The only one I can get down is Gollum from Lord of the Rings, which I told Susie I'd probably call in and play a prank on guts, but I don't have the guts.
You don't have the guts? Oh, come on, do it.
If Susie could do it, you can do it. I mean, she's... It sounded good, but I didn't understand a fucking word you said.
I know.
Yeah, it's basically just like Gollum complaining that like Sam and Frodo are so mean to him. He's saying, no, they're not meant to us.
Tom, I actually haven't even seen The Lord of the Rings or read any of the books. I'm one of the very few out there, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, I'll leave you a link on Facebook for a Gilbert Lord of the Rings for you to watch.
Okay. I will do that. Well, thank you so much for calling in. It was nice talking to you.
Take care, Tom.
All
right. Bye. Yeah. Well, the connection is horrible.
I know.
I couldn't make out anything he was saying. Do you remember him?
Yes. He's he's one of...
Everybody's coming out of the woodwork now
that
you're on radio.
I know. It's too funny. He works at EMARC, the company that I used to work at, with the severely retarded man. And I think I was telling you a little bit about that a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very difficult job. Very emotionally draining and challenging. But rewarding at the same time. The guy I worked with actually liked to bite me.
Really?
Yes.
Well, he's got a good taste.
Oh, thank you. But one day I told him, I was like, listen, you fucker. I'm like, if you ever try and bite me again, I'll actually bite you back. And we just kind of like made eye contact. And like on an animalistic level, I think he really understood me. And then once we got that out of the way, we ended up having a great relationship. And I would take him swimming every day and horseback riding. And I don't know. He actually ended up growing leaps and bounds with me. It was great.
Wow.
Yeah. All these different layers to my life.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Well, I can't see you doing that kind of work, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Why not?
I don't know. You seem like you would feel confined in something like that, no?
Definitely. It was definitely a little bit confining just working with one person. Right. But that also gave me a lot of the freedom to go off and do whatever we wanted.
Yeah.
And I like having a lot of job freedom.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this one I could say whatever I want. My nanny job, you know, we could take the kids and do whatever we want.
Yeah.
You give me a job and you tell me that you have to be here at this time and you've got to wear this and you've got to say this and act this way and do this. Fuck that.
Yeah.
You know, I usually only last, I don't know, maybe 3 to 6 months at some kind of job like that.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
3 to 6 months is good.
I know. It's like my love life. Ooh. Actually, my dad's girlfriend called me this morning and she was like, Susie, she's like, who's that man's voice in the background? I was like, that's the Franz. She was like, still? Really? And I was like, yeah, go figure.
Yeah.
Who would have thought? The most unlikely candidate.
Yeah, well, you know, opposites attract sometimes. But I don't think you're so opposite. That's the point. I think you're a lot alike.
You think I'm a homeless, unemployed bum?
No. I just think you guys are a lot alike.
Just because we're crazy and we like to have a good time?
Partly. Yeah.
Partly?
Yeah. No, but I think you're good for each other because he can take all the stuff, all the abuse you give him, and you just keep giving the abuse. So
yes,
you guys are compatible.
I'm like a dominatrix sometimes.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
This station presents Real American Heroes. Today, we salute you, Mr. Early Morning Snowblower Operator. You bought it on sale in July and couldn't wait to fire that bad boy up at the first sight of a few flakes. It's a Sears Super Snow Blaster, the Corvette of snowblowers.
You really wish you'd gotten the car.
You, Mr. Early Morning Snowblower Operator, believe in absolute power and the absolute right to wake the neighbors at 6 a.m. to the sounds of thunderous snow throwing.
Give me something to throw at you.
Oh, would somebody please put sugar in his gas tank?
That would be pretty sweet, yeah.
So the next time you want to sleep in, only to be shaken by the sounds of snow-covered sidewalk power sculpting, open a window and extend a single-finger salute to Mr. Early Morning Snowblower Operator, a real American hero.
Mr. Early Morning Snowblower Operator.
Great, this guy just got a riding lawnmower for Christmas.
Intoxicating, if you know what I mean. No hesitating, slip away unseen. The sound surrounding, let it flow. I've got a green light, hey baby, I'm good to go. There's the rub, that's the catch, the whole done deal, the whole shooting match. What can I say? What can I do? Wear a different hat or pull a disappearing act on you. I don't need your anger. I don't need your pain. Sound surrounding, let it flow. I've got a green light, hey baby, I'm good to go. I don't need your anger. I don't need your pain. I don't need your answer, so I'm not listening.
Susie in the morning on LA Talk Radio.
So what's the story? Have you heard that Jennifer Aniston and her boyfriend just broke up?
John Mayer?
Yeah.
Oh no, I didn't hear that yet.
Now who is this John Mayer deal? I mean, I never heard of him before.
He's a musician. He sings and plays the guitar. He was dating Jessica Simpson for a while.
Oh really?
Yeah. He's had a whole string of like Hollywood starlet harlots.
Yeah, like that Rick Solomon deal.
Yes. Not quite that bad.
Yeah.
So
the report said that he's been cheating on her.
Aww.
Yeah. So then, but he told reporters over the weekend, there's no lying, there's no cheating, there's no nothing. And apparently he said that Jennifer Aniston is the smartest, most sophisticated person I think I've ever met.
Wow.
So who knows?
That sucks for poor Jennifer, though, if she really is getting cheated on again. I mean, she's just had a run of bad luck with all the guys that she's been dating and married to. And to lose, like, your husband, to lose Brad Pitt to Angelina Jolie, that's got to be miserable.
Devastating. Huh?
Devastating. Yeah. Oh, man. And then to watch them go off and have, like, all of these kids and just...
I know, and Jennifer's not that bad at all. I mean, she seems like a nice person.
No, she definitely does. She seems really sweet and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's just so sad.
Yeah.
She's got to have better taste in men, though.
Yeah.
Vince Vaughn was definitely not a good choice.
No.
No. He would be the worst boyfriend ever. Oh, my God.
Really?
He's a crazy alcoholic and probably drinks and smokes way too much.
Really?
And parties all the time and plays poker with his boys.
Wow.
He's just like a typical boy's boy.
Yeah. Yeah. He hasn't grown up or anything.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. Now, you transformed yourself over the break. Now you're wearing a pair of glasses. I've never seen you wear glasses
before. Yes, I actually wore them into the studio today.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Okay, why?
But you didn't notice them earlier.
No.
Well, I don't know. It was kind of overcast, and I'm a really big sunglass person all the time in daylight hours. If I have to be awake during daylight hours, I usually am covering my eyes.
Right.
I always feel like everyone always looks better at nighttime. But yeah, so because it was overcast today, I decided to put my glasses on, but they're fake. They're not real.
Oh, they're not real DG.
No, no. Okay. Well, they're real Dolce & Gabbana, but they're not prescription.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I can tell because the lenses don't look like they're distorted or anything.
Well, they're a little messed up.
Right? So you're wearing it for the look?
I'm wearing it to kind of to cover the bags under my eyes because I'm sleepy.
You don't fucking have any bags
I
under your
too.
Eyes.
I do, too.
Are you kidding me?
No, I see.
Your skin
I see
is so tight.
Than
I
you
mean.
Do. I also wear them for school sometimes. I sit in the front row in my little short skirts, and I'm like, excuse me, professor. And then I take the glasses out, and I put, like, one of the things in my mouth. And I'm like, it says here, like, we've got a little question on this area. And the professors are usually just like, oh, she's wearing glasses. She must be smart.
Yeah.
Therefore, we automatically give her an A. I'm telling you, it always works out that way.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm telling you, you've learned to really use the tools you've got.
Yes.
That nature gave you.
That I have.
I mean, you've honed that to a T.
It is really funny. But seriously, I did little experiments to see, you know, if teachers actually really did take me more seriously with glasses or without. And I don't know, historically, it's proven that they take me much more seriously when they think I wear glasses.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah. You look like a totally different person.
Do I look like
really
a naughty librarian?
You look
librarian?
Like a nerd. No, you look like a nerd.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, then I'll take them off.
No, that's fine.
No,
you know?
No, I mean, I'll take them off.
But yeah, I mean, you don't need glasses. You know, sunglasses, you know, often add to the look and stuff. But just regular glasses, you know.
Well, yesterday I was doing...
But look, again, it's my opinion. You can fucking wear them all you want. You know, I'm just saying. That's what I'm seeing.
I didn't have any glasses in my car. I decided to put them on so I didn't feel embarrassed about the bags under my eyes, which I swear are there.
You don't have any fucking bags.
Well, if I don't now, I will soon enough if I keep waking up this early. But yesterday I did...
You know what the answer is?
What?
Go to sleep earlier.
I can't. I'm trying. I really am. And I am going to sleep earlier, just not early enough yet.
Yeah.
sorry to everyone who hears us bickering about all these little things.
Yeah.
But yesterday I did a catering event in Van Nuys. And I had to be there at like 11 o'clock. It was for John's. Like, I guess it's a grocery store.
Yes.
Do you know what that is?
Are you serious? The one on Van Nuys Boulevard?
Yeah. Well, this was actually...
That's fucking... It's a dive. I mean, well, that area...
Well, let me tell you.
Okay.
So the catering
That's
company
the worst
I work
fucking
for,
area in the valley. Go
trust
ahead.
Me, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, the catering company I work for, they have all different kinds of events that we do. You know, I did the Scientology thing. I'm doing the Emmys in September. Mm. And then, like, randomly, they're like, oh, do you want to do a gig on Sunday at 11 o'clock? And I'm like, sure. So I said yes to it, not really knowing what it was.
Right.
But so I get there, and it was outside, and it was kind of like a carnival barbecue ish setup.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, great. As I'm wearing black pants and, like, you know, this other shirt, and I'm just going to be stuck outside sweating my balls off. I don't have balls, but. But so, yeah, I have my sunglasses on, and I'm, like, behind my tent. And I was, like, quote, unquote, a chef for the day. So I was cutting onions for 6 hours.
Oh, my God.
And cutting tomatoes for hamburgers and putting slabs of carne asada.
Oh, I thought you were just like a waitress there or something.
Well,
you have to prepare the food as well?
Well, this particular event was different than anyone I'd ever done before.
I see.
But it was for 4,000 working class Mexican families and people that go, they all work at the various John's restaurants.
Right.
So it took me
it's
the longest...
It's not a restaurant. It's a grocery store.
Yeah,
right.
Sorry. I haven't been there before.
No.
But
and
so
you know how they got the name? They copied Vons.
Vons,
know?
John's.
Yeah, they copied the same logo and they just made it John's.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But so it took me the longest time before I realized, like, I'm like, what is wrong with this situation? Like, all the people that work for the catering company are, like, really well-educated people that are either struggling, like, writing or writers, artists, or musicians. But, you know, they're people that will most likely... I don't know. I feel like a lot of them are going to make it in the industry on some level. But so it just seemed weird to have all of these kind of like, not elite people, because, you know, obviously they wouldn't be elite or I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Just like well-educated people serving these lesser educated people. I'm hoping this comes off right. I guess there's no way to say it nicely. But so I was just like,
no,
wait
there is. You know why there isn't? Because it's his truth.
And they weren't,
it's
like,
the
no
truth.
One could speak English that we were serving. And so I just decided to have a ball with it. And I mean, I swear the older I get, the less mature I get. So I've got hot dogs. I've got a tray of hot dogs that I'm like putting on buns for people. Uh-huh. You know, I've got the bun station, which I had a ball with. And then, of course, we had the carne asada, which I would just refer to. I'm like, meat slab? Would you like a meat slab? And I'm like slapping it onto their plate as they're like funneling through the line. And then when it came to the hot dogs, I decided to kind of entertain my fellow workers. And so I picked up one of the hot dogs and I turned around. The families couldn't see what I was doing, but I started slapping myself in the mouth with it.
Oh, wonderful.
And at this point, wonderful. At this point, like the head waiter who's like kind of in charge of me, you know, who has to sign me in and out and make sure making sure I get paid. Right. He walks over at the last second and sees me like dick slapping myself with the hot dog in the mouth.
Oh my God.
While everyone else is just horrified / shocked and doesn't know what to do because I've never worked with someone who's so inappropriate. At one of these events. And they're just like,
playing with a fucking hot dog.
I swear to God, I just get less mature.
Yeah.
But yeah, actually, I found a couple new guests that would like to come on the show while I was there.
Cool.
Some fun musicians and some fun actors and people that I think would actually be a nice addition to our show.
Have you ever tried to like deep throat a kielbasa or something?
A kielbasa? Well, Franz is kielbasa. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I actually kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yep. You look very shocked.
No, I'm not shocked at all.
Really?
I'm just taking it in.
I will say one thing, not deep-throating a kielbasa, but for sex toys, something that you can actually do is you could take a condom and you could fill it up with water, and you can make it various sizes and shapes and whatever and put it in the freezer.
Mm.
Tie a knot in it.
Yeah.
Then you can make your own frozen sex toys.
Right.
That's the closest thing to a kielbasa. The cold is a little shocking to your system at first, but I mean, you've got to be careful you don't kind of get freezer burn down there.
Yeah. Yeah, you better.
Yeah.
Do you remember that movie Dumb and Dumber when his tongue stuck to the
chairlift.
The ski lift, yeah.
The chairlift. Yeah. Yes. That whole movie is just hysterical.
Yeah.
I particularly like the one where the cop thinks they're drinking and driving.
Yeah.
And he takes a big swig of it, and it was actually his pee bottle.
Yeah. That, or when he went in the bathroom and started having all this shit attacks and
stuff.
Oh,
God.
Remember that at the party?
Today's overlying theme, I guess, is going to have to be about shit.
It is shit. You know that when Manu was here, I don't know, almost every day we'd end up talking about shit, and I can't explain it to this day.
What else is there to say about it?
Because I have a very hateful relationship with shit.
Oh.
I really can't stand it. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, we're talking about movies. You have a list there of the top box office?
Let me see.
No? I didn't give it to you?
No, you gave me a history lesson.
No, you had one.
And the Sextras.
Okay, hold on a second. Are you sure? Oh, yeah, here it is.
I'm not lying.
Here. The top grossing movies.
Tropic Thunder, $26 million.
Now, that one's got, like, excellent reviews, and everybody that's seen it loves it.
Yeah, I've had a couple friends that have said they really liked it. I mean, just looking at the billboards, it kind of looks, like, silly and stupid, and
it doesn't
seem like anything I'd really be interested in seeing.
Yeah, and it's probably, I bet you there are moments where it's silly and stupid, you know? And
I just don't like a lot of the mindless humor. Sometimes it's okay, but I really don't feel I have that much of a sense of humor, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know, like I just started watching Saturday Night Live like a year ago.
Really?
Because I always thought it was just kind of like, I don't know. I really didn't think I had a sense of humor for the longest time.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And then The Dark Knight came in at 16.
How much money did it make?
$26 million.
$26 million, wow.
Well, also, actually going back to the Tropic Thunder one, Robert Downey Jr. is in that, so I actually just might go see it.
As a black guy.
Oh. Yeah. I love him. I think he is so sexy.
Yeah.
So sexy. Mm-hmm. Drug problem and all, I don't mind.
Yeah.
Of course not. It's me. Yeah. And then The Dark Knight came in at $16.8 million.
Wow. Have you seen any movies lately?
I saw The Dark Knight.
Oh, you did?
Franz pirated it and we watched it on his computer.
Oh, cool. Was it nice?
It was a good movie.
I mean, a movie like this you want to see on the big screen, you know, not on a fucking computer screen.
Yeah. I definitely would have liked to have seen it on a big screen, but he's like, why pay money when we can watch it right from home, baby? But the funny thing is, like, when you get the pirated movies, like, halfway, like, in the middle, you've got, like, a really good part, and then you see someone's head stand up, and they walk out to get popcorn or to go take a piss.
Oh, it's that kind of a pirated movie.
It's that kind.
They shot it in the theater, yeah.
Yep.
Because some pirated, it's just somebody at the editing room just steals a copy and...
No, this was actually someone stealing or bringing, sneaking their video camera in and sitting like slouched down low in the seat doing that. Do people get arrested for doing that? Or
I don't know if arrested, but...
just thrown out of the movie?
I think so. They'd have it confiscated or something. Because, you see, you can't... well, I don't know. I don't know if it's illegal to take the video or to distribute it, you know?
Mm.
But who knows? Who knows? But it's probably illegal, I'm sure.
Yeah, I guess it would be illegal to do that, too.
Yeah, it's like, what's the point, you know?
And what's this I have right here? Star Wars The Clones War.
Yeah, it's like a cartoon, an animated movie about Star Wars or something.
Really?
Under the radar completely.
Wow. Yeah. I really haven't been watching that much TV lately, so... Yeah,
I haven't either, but, you know, you read the papers, you see, or billboards, you see what's out there.
I guess I haven't... I guess I keep... Yeah. My mind is somewhere else all the time. Like, I'm not really looking at the billboards. I'm really looking at who's in the car next to me.
I see. Okay. All right. Just to make sure we remember, you keep reminding us.
I know. Well, that's why I really am completely oblivious a lot of the time to what else is going on in the world.
Really?
Because I'm constantly just like, Yeah. I don't know. And then apparently a movie named Mirrors made $11.1 million. What's that about?
I don't know. Never heard of it.
And then the Pineapple Express. I've seen a lot of advertisement for that.
Yeah.
That's $10 million.
Yeah.
It's
about getting high in pot and shit, right?
Oh.
Yeah. Pineapple Express. Yeah.
I'll have to check that one out too.
Yeah, it refers to a type of marijuana.
Really?
It's a name of...
And how do you know this, Sam?
Because they talk about it.
Oh.
About the movie, yeah.
Who is they?
The critics, the media, I don't know.
Pineapple Express, that's a kind of marijuana. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, and then the rest doesn't really matter, right?
We get
top
no.
five.
That's so bad.
Nobody gives a shit.
Definitely.
Yeah. And before we go, so I give you a list of birthdays and stuff. Some of them are interesting to see how old the people are.
Director Roman Polanski, the pianist, Chinatown and Rosemary's Baby, is 75.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the guy that fucking molested that 13-year-old.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and then he just jumped his bail and he's in Europe this whole time.
Oh, no.
I don't know if in Czechoslovakia and in Poland maybe, because he's Polish. But
Polanski? No, really?
No.
Really?
Maybe
go
that's
figure.
Why I got Polish, right? But yeah, I mean, that's so he's known as I mean, it's statutory rape. Supposedly, it wasn't rape.
Because it was
was 13.
And then Robert Redford is 71.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
He does look his age, though, but he's still handsome as hell. You know, I mean, he's got that charisma about him.
Yeah.
You know?
And then actor-comedian Martin Mull from Roseanne, Fernwood, Two Nights, and Mrs. Doubtfire is 65. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, he used to have like a show. Nobody cares.
Huh.
Yeah, he's from the 70s, this guy.
Oh, and Patrick Swayze, 54.
Oh, wow.
From Dirty Dancing already, huh? And Ghost and Point Break. Oh, those three movies are just unbelievable.
Yeah, I liked Ghost, yeah.
Ghost, you didn't like Dirty Dancing?
Yeah, I guess at the time it was
and
okay.
And Point Break? Come on.
No. Was that the surfing movie?
The surfing one where they were like robbing the banks and they wore the masks.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that.
Oh,
is
my
that pretty
God,
cool?
You have to see that
really?
One.
Really?
Yes. I might not have seen that many movies in my life, but I've seen a couple good ones, and that is one of them. I could watch that over and over again.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow, I'll have to check it out.
And Dennis Leary. Actually, I have a friend who's very good friends with Dennis Leary. He's from Boston,
mm-hmm.
And you know everyone knows who he is. But he's 51 today, too. Wow.
Mm. Everybody's getting old, yeah.
Oh, now Christian Slater. Ah, very bad things. Broken Arrow and Hard Rain are some of the movies he was in. He's 39.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, only 39? I would think he'd be older.
I would have thought
he'd
be older, too.
He's been around for a long time.
Definitely. Yeah. Ooh, and Edward Norton, too. Mm. Oh, my gosh. What was that
movie? Let me guess. He would be probably, what, like around 40 or something?
39.
39.
I love Edward Norton. I think he's one of the best actors out there.
He really is good.
What was the one where he was the altar boy? And he got
Primal Fear.
Primal Fear.
That was the first movie that I saw him in, and he was amazing.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal in that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I know. Cool.
Yeah, that's about it.
We're almost out of time. What was I going to say?
Don't forget to clear your schedule for tomorrow night for Satine Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
At Sardo's. Yeah. I didn't forget.
Yeah, I sent you that press release, right, that they sent me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
that
they
amazing?
Sent it to you. Because
yeah, they sent it to me.
I got that right when I was at the people's house that I nanny for, and I was like, oh, I was like, I wonder who these people are. I don't really know any of them. So I asked the father, I was like, why don't you come over here and take a look and tell me who these people are? And he's like, whoa. He's like, why did he think that you would want to know about that? Yeah. I was like, I don't know. Not that I would have anything to do with this. You know, yeah. I'm a child care technician.
Yeah.
Yeah. You trust me with your small children all day. I don't go to sex parties. No, no.
Yeah. I wanted also to announce, and I told you this, I let all the hosts know that now you'll see on our website, you can listen to us on the iPhone. And
trying to set that up on my girlfriend's phone last night, and we couldn't figure out how.
It's very easy. You just go to flytunes.fm.
Flytunes.
Right. Okay. You see, the iPhone has a browser, the Safari browser, like on the Mac. You open that, you go to flytunes.fm, and there it just kind of guides you. You sign up, and afterwards, you just... then you can access it from the phone. You just do like a favorite or something.
Okay, I probably should have read your email in better depth because I just went to the website.
Yeah, all you have to do, look, just go on the website and click on the thing and it'll take care of the rest of it for you.
Cool.
And it's just amazing because now I can take the station with me everywhere we go and that's just amazing.
That really
is. I mean, I'm fucking sitting at Starbucks and I'm listening to our station. You know? It's amazing.
Now, do you put headphones on or do you make everyone else around you listen too?
No, the headphones is much better. Actually, I haven't done it yet, okay? I haven't gone to Starbucks. I'm just picturing myself going to Starbucks.
You've got the whole visual in your head.
Yeah.
Now, can you listen to it through the Bluetooth? Like, can you have that thing in your ear and listen to it? Or do you have to, does the iPhone have, like, speakers?
No, the iPhone has, it has a speaker, but it doesn't sound very good. Just like any cell phone, yeah.
Cool.
So you have to put the headphones on.
Well, that's fine, too.
Yeah.
People come over and be like, what are you listening to? And you'll be like, Sam and Susie in the morning, of course.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for joining us this morning. Coming up next is Alan Cardoza with Answers for the Family, a great show, one of my favorites. So make sure to stay tuned. We've got a full lineup today. Check out the website. And Susie, go home, get some rest.
I've got to go to work now. No rest.
Oh, you got to work?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's not going to kill you, I'm sure.
No, it'll make me
just
stronger.
Just try to go to sleep a little earlier. And so thanks again for joining us, and we'll be back right here tomorrow.
And now from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the morning.
Sam and Susie in the morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.